For the message tonight, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I would like to read a number of verses here in this chapter, Matthew chapter 6, and I think we'll start in at verse 19. This is the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus was teaching and preaching. He tells us, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I've often wondered how Jesus preached. I wonder how he taught. I wonder what kind of voice he used, what kind of emotion he had. How did he relay this to the people? How was it? I don't know. It's something that I wonder about. It's not terribly important. It's a lot of truth packed into these verses. Tonight, we're going to focus in on a few of them. My mind was thinking tonight, the message title was Fighting Against Distractions, and I'm thinking particularly of electronic or digital distractions. That's the age that you and I live in today in 2025. And I don't know if Jesus, when he was saying this, if he was looking down through the corridors of time to us tonight here at Lakeview and our situation here when he said those words. I don't know if he thought, how far he thought. But tonight, these words are for us. And they speak into our situation tonight to give us some direction and some help as we relate to life here in America in 2025. Well, a distraction is something that draws away or diverts your mind or your attention. Something that just comes in and sidetracks you. You sort of shift your focus and your purpose. A lot of things happen in our minds. In fact, every battle is won and fought, is fought and won in our minds. That's where a lot of the battles start and hopefully end, is in our minds. Your mind tonight, nobody can see your mind. I can't see your mind and nobody else can, but God can see our thoughts, and He knows them even before we think them. And so tonight, do I have a disciplined mind? And am I fighting distractions that want to come into my mind? And especially in this era of technology that has so rapidly increased in our day and age, in just a short matter of years, so much change has happened in our lifetimes. And we've come maybe even blinded to it. We just become so used to it. Until we actually sit back and we think, like 20 years ago, what was it like? 40 years ago, what was it like? And that's not very long ago. But there's a lot of change, brothers, that has happened in just a short 40 years of time. It's incredible. And back where we used to live, our neighbor lady, she's 106, she is. But I thought about her life. In 106 years, what she all saw and experienced in life. And it's incredible. From horse and carriage travel to the first automobiles to the first telephones to the first airplanes to the first everything, you know, that we're all so used to. To her was all huge inventions and changes in her lifetime. That generation of people had seen tremendous change in their lifetime. And you and I, we don't know for sure what will all continue on into the future. But tonight, do you have a plan? Do you have a strategy on how to control, how to discipline the many things that just want to press into our minds, and steal our time? Time tonight is the most valuable resource that you and I have. And we don't know how much of that we have, actually. It's really fleeting. I don't know how much time I have left for me here. How have I used the past of my time? Have I done it well, wisely? No. There has been wasted time in my life. Well, I think Jesus speaks to us in these verses very practically and gives us some direction for us here tonight as we grapple with these things that we have and we've accepted and we use them. And enough time has elapsed and gone by, and enough studies have been done to begin that we can begin to see some of the effects that this digital age is having upon human beings and upon our brains and how we think, how we operate, and how addictive it is. And I think as Christians, we shouldn't be naive to some of this, but we should be alert and trying to learn as much as we can about this, because this should concern us, because we're Christians and we want to be good stewards of our bodies, of our minds, of our time. God wants us to do that. How are we going to do that tonight? And so it seems like Jesus is telling us in this passage, He's telling us to keep an eternal perspective. That will really help me. It will really help you traverse through this age that you and I live in. If we can get our eyes on eternal things and the glimpses of Christ that we see and experience, that can help us sort of put things in their proper perspective and places. Well, in verse 22 and in 23, Jesus speaks about the eye. And he uses the eye tonight to describe our physical eye, to describe to us how it is in the spiritual realm. It says, if your eye, the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. That word single, it means well folded. It's like taking a piece of paper and don't look at my writing, but you fold it very carefully so you have one perfect crease and all the edges line up perfectly, right? It has one fold and it's perfect, all in line. A single eye, Jesus says tonight, is like a piece of paper perfectly folded. No, one crease, all the edges are aligned. Not like Stan does in his print shop. They take a knife and cut all the edges off and make them nice and straight. I guess that could work too. But that's what single means. And so the opposite of that tonight is a piece of paper that is just folded together and all the edges are ragged and jagged and all the folds are this way and that way and topsy-turvy and like a child would take a piece of paper and just, you know, put it together. That's the opposite of what this word means. And so there is one purpose in this word. There's a single purpose. There's a single focus that comes out of this definition. There is one fold. There's not multiple folds. There's just one. It's single. That's the idea in this word. And Jesus is saying tonight that a single eye or a mind that is single is a mind that is not folded into many different ways and creased this way and that way, but it has one straight fold. It has a single purpose and focus. And that's what it focuses on. That's its perspective. It's not divided. It's not divided by distracting care and worry. Distracting care, things of this world can crease our mind and make us not see correctly spiritually. It can interrupt the way we look at things. We don't see them properly. And so Jesus says, if your eye is healthy tonight, and I think most of our eyes are healthy, you might have some glasses or contact lenses to help you see perfectly. But if your eye is healthy tonight, you can look at something, you can see it very clearly. In fact, you don't really think about this, but when you walk, it's like you're looking where you're going, and you see there's a step there, right? And so you go down over the step, you don't trip over because you see right. You see what's there, you see this thing, and so you step up, step down, step over. That's an eye that can see properly. But if you had an eye that didn't work right, and I was always out of focus, or it saw a double, or everything was just blurry and fuzzy, and after a while your head can start hurting you, and you maybe feel nauseous, and you might lose your balance, and you might fall over, and you hurt yourself. That's an eye tonight. That's a mind's eye that has been distracted tonight. That has many creases in it. It can no longer see accurately and properly in a spiritual sense. And so tonight our physical eye, it regulates the way our bodies move and how we go. And so a mind tonight that does not have a single purpose. It's darting from one thing to the other thing to the other thing. And we're this way and that way, and we're back and forth, and our mind can really be jumping from all different subjects and ideas and thoughts, and the technology that we have can make that so easy for us. We can just touch the next thing and keep going, and we can see, just go into this cycle of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing so quickly. We can just travel, and we can get to places where we never thought we could get to. I've been there, because these things just, they sort of know our patterns after when they soon start feeding stuff to us, and soon you can just keep, you just keep going. And you can clutter your mind with useless information and junk and waste so much time, and your mind becomes absorbed with all of that, and you can no longer think clearly spiritually because your vision has become blurred. It can put your spiritual life into jeopardy. And so Tim Keller, and I'm not here to promote him necessarily or what he all believed, but one quote that he said, or he was asked a question about why the younger generation has such a difficulty latching on to God and his word and spending time with God. And he said, because it's easier to tweet than to pray. And that's true. It's easier for you and I to be on our phones tonight than it is to pray. There's a discipline that comes in praying tonight that we don't need to have to be on our phone. Now this book, I don't know if any of you read this book, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, written by Tony Reinke. But it's a good read book, not real thick if you don't like big books. It's an easy read book. Good perspective. Comes at technology not in a way to despise it and to throw it aside, but how can we safely as Christians navigate through this world that you and I live in? It gives us some really good pointers and ideas of how we should be using and living with the technology that you and I have. Well, that book says, I'm going to quote from that book here just briefly. He says, we check our smartphones 81,500 times a year, or once every 4.3 minutes. And I wondered if that's true. But I guess it's really not that surprising when you think about what's all on them. When you have your calendar and your work schedules and your reading and your pictures and your bank accounts and your navigation and your news and the weather and the email and the shopping and all of this is all on these devices. It's not really that surprising that you and I can spend that much time on them. I'm speaking tonight just in a personal way, not in some of us who work with this every day or on some of this more than other people probably are, but just in a personal way, we can easily be on these devices really a shocking amount of time in the course of a week. I was surprised and shocked when I started like having my accountability tell me how much time I was spending and what I was doing with my device. And that's sort of startling when that comes into you in your emails, like really seriously? Like that last week? Like that one day I spent 6 hours? Like that's sort of incredible. That's really easy to do, though. It's not hard to do that. Well, are you and I, have we become addicted to these things, or are we controlling these things, or are they controlling us? I guess that's the question that you and I need to, at times, ask ourselves. It seems Jesus is warning us tonight about having our minds so quickly just darting from one thing to the next and jumping from one subject to another. He talks about this single eye tonight, a single purpose, a single focus. We often tend to look at distractions that come to us on our devices as acceptable. But I think we sort of fail to recognize the greatest danger and what they're doing to me spiritually. Like, what are they doing to me spiritually? I think we need to be fair and ask some of these questions. And I know this is, we all don't think the same on this type of subject. And I'm probably going to say some things that you won't agree with. But it's just to stir up our minds, make us think. Tony Ranke also says that he did a survey of 8,000 Christians, and 54% of them admitted to checking their phones within minutes from waking. Does that sound like something you do? Open your eyes up and you check your phone pretty quickly? He also asked this group of 8,000 Christians if they were more likely to check their email or their social media before or after having their devotional time, if you have it in the morning, and 73% said before. Does that sound like something you would do too? Yeah, it's possible. Actually, it's not too far from us. Now, I mean, it may sound tonight that I'm anti-technology, but that's not correct. We have wonderful gifts that God has given to us. We need to use them wisely for His glory. In fact, we can think and we can go back to what some people call the good old days. If only we could just go back to before this era of time, like, wouldn't that be so much more simpler and less complicated, and it'd be so much more easier to navigate through life? And I think we just need to put that kind of thinking to death, because every age, every generation had to face distractions to their Christian journey. It didn't really matter what it was, and tonight, where we are in 2025, it is the age of digital technology, and we need to face it, and we'll navigate through it. Will we get it just perfectly right? No, but if our hearts are sincere before God, I think we'll be able to find a safe way for us and our families to go through this. And no, going back to horse and buggy days is not really the answer to our problem. We'll become distracted there too with something. And so distractions are something that come to us, no matter of what time that you live in. Well, tonight, and there's so many wonderful things that we're able to do, the tools that we have, even the health care that we have, and the broken bones that some of you have here and have bolted back together again, and all the amazing things that we're able to do, that God has allowed us to do, is incredible, and we need to be thankful for that. Our lives have become much better because of it. But they can also make our lives not so much better too, depending on how we use it. Well, the truth is tonight that the creators of this technology, they're way smarter than you and I are. I don't mean to offend you tonight, but when the iPhone came out in 2007, Steve Jobs was actively shielding his family from his devices that he was inventing and bringing out. He saw some dangers in them. In fact, Steve Jobs said that he made this statement sometime. He said that now we can touch our music. And when he said it, I don't think we understood the significance of that. But there's some really deep things that go into technology that my mind falls short of understanding, that men of the world have conquered and have given to us them in. They've given them to us. We pay for them. We use them. But we need to be aware of the dangers that are associated with these things. And so tonight, let's learn to manage our life, our distractions wisely, so that we don't forget how to walk with the Lord. So tonight, God is calling us to just stop and think. What is it that captures your attention tonight? What is it that drives you? Think about that. Weigh the consequences. And if there's something that you need to fight against in that, then fight against it. Because look, in the Christian life, we're in a battle. And we're going to be fighting something, one way or the other. And so figure out what it is in your life that's robbing you of time, of your time that you could be spending focusing on others, focusing on your time with God, those things that want to come in and steal that away from you. Figure out what that is, and then decisively take care of those things so we can continue to live right. So our hearts can be undistracted before our God, who calls us to be watchful. My soul, be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. So tonight, there's a warning to us here that something even as harmless as your smartphone could lead and end in your destruction. And Satan is well able to make that happen. He's able to take us down very rapidly. And in fact, your phone tonight and my phone, they really just give us little glimpses into our souls. Like, would you be okay if somebody got your phone and opened it up and saw what you were chasing around online the last week? Like, would we be okay with that? Like, it really does show who we are. Well, our pursuit of godliness, it's maintained by a mind that is focused on spiritual things. Holiness tonight, that's the fruit of a well-ordered mind. Holiness does not just happen tonight, men, just by chance. No, it hasn't happened like that for me in my life. I have to fight really hard for that, and you will too. And our minds need to be controlled and ordered enough in order for us to be holy men of God tonight. Otherwise, thoughts will be interjected into our minds that will take us down. Godliness begins with a disciplined mind. Well, what is your focus? Is it a single focus tonight? Is it one single fold, or do you have many jagged edges and folds and creases in your mind? You need to get rid of some of them. Get back to a single fold. Well, Jesus says in verse 22 that the light of the body is the eye. The light refers to a source of light, such as a candle or a lamp. And it speaks of casting light on an object for clarity so you can see it better. And when Jesus is speaking and using the eye in this way, he's speaking spiritually to us tonight. What is the condition of our eye? What is the light that's flowing out of our eye? Well, Jesus says multiple times in this passage that we should protect and keep our minds from worry and from care. And those things that sidetrack our focus on God. Anxious care. Living tonight with the proper light coming from your eye. We need that to be able to think clearly so we can see the issues that arise in our own personal lives and in our families' lives and in our church's lives to be able to see correctly. Are we keeping our minds undistracted from the cares of this world? The light of the body is the eye. The word body has several different meanings, but the one I think that fits the best in describing this to us is the idea of a slave. And tonight, your body and my body tonight is controlled by our minds and what we think. Our bodies move and act by what our brains tell it to do. And my dad has Parkinson's, and his brain isn't quite working properly, and so his movements get all messed up sometimes, and he doesn't walk very good, and he stumbles and he falls because his brain, in a physical way, is not making his body work like it should work. But what kind of mind do you have spiritually tonight? Is it one that you can walk as a Christian? Because you can see right. It makes you walk right. It makes you act right. It makes you talk right. As your mind thinks, so the body goes. The body is controlled by your mind. Well, if it's spiritually well tonight, the light of the body becomes just a well of blessing to you, because you see correctly. You see from God's perspective how He sees things. And it makes a difference in your life. Your mind is vital to your spiritual well-being. Just as your physical eye is to your body, whether your balance or your direction, all of that, our eyes play so much a part of that. We don't even think about it. So what kind of spiritual eye do you have tonight? Can it discern with clarity the issues of our day? Or have they become so distracted and bombarded by all the noise and commotion and information that we can no longer see correctly? The light has become dimmed. And things are shadowy, and we're just not sure. How does that look? So tonight it's important to the things that we subject our minds to. It will affect how you live. What's in your mind will ultimately determine where you end up at the end of your life. This is our minds are serious business tonight. There's a lot of battles that go on in our minds. Well, our eye must be single focus, so that our bodies can be full of light. Single, prioritized, disciplined, free from distraction. Sometimes you just have to purposely turn the phone off, put it on silent. Those beeps and those noises, those are all meant to stimulate something in your brain. Microsoft, all those things, all those little noises doodle at you all the time. It's just sort of something that it's addictive to us, and we like those sounds. We almost have to, like, if you hear it, you almost have to pick it up, right? To see what it was. Are you able to, like, just put it aside and leave it there? Can we do that? There's many things that can distract us, that can plague our thinking and keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the focus that He calls us to tonight. As a single-minded focus. In Colossians chapter 3, I thought I could say that by memory, but it's slipping my mind right now. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That has a single-minded focus there, to set. It means to forcibly fixate. Like, sometimes we have to forcibly fixate our minds to stop thinking what they're thinking. It takes work. It takes effort. It's not easy to do this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek that first. That'll give you a proper perspective for your day, for your week, for your life. Well, if your eye is evil tonight. If your eye is sick, if your eye is dark, if your eye cannot see right, you're not going to walk good tonight physically, and you won't walk good spiritually either. You're going to get into places that you never thought you'd get to. If your mind is not in order tonight, if it's not being disciplined to think correctly, if there's no structure in your mind, if you don't have any single purpose tonight, I can assure you tonight that you will get to places and do things that you never thought you'd do, because I've done that. It happens really easily and quickly. What kind of purpose do you have tonight? If your eye tonight is not working properly in a physical way, it means a life of sort of hardship here, right? It won't be an easy thing not to be able to see properly here. But tonight, if your eye is dark tonight, it's much more serious, spiritually speaking, than it is physically speaking, because your soul is in danger tonight. Distracting cares and thoughts from an undisciplined life and mind will cause you to stumble through life, resulting in frustration and anger and disillusionment. And you can get to a place like that pretty quickly in your life, with a mind that is out of order, that is not structured, that's not disciplined. What kind of man are you tonight? Are you a double-minded man, as James speaks about? Two focuses? Well, Jesus says you can't do that. He says you can't serve God and mammon. It's either one or the other. There's one of two ways you can be tonight. There's no middle ground. It's either one or the other, God or mammon. What is it for me tonight? What is it for you? Well, the mind tonight, it's the control center of our life, and we must guard our minds carefully. And it's a battle that you and I can grow weary in, and we can become sloppy in, because we think nobody sees it. But that's fooling ourselves, because eventually what's in our minds will work itself out, typically. But God always sees that. I mean, what's more important, God seeing it or your brother seeing it? Which is worse? Well, ultimately, God knowing his way, it doesn't compare to what if your brother knows it. In light of eternity, that means nothing. And so, is your mind intentional? Is there strict order in your mind as you go through your day and as you live? If you want to grow in godliness tonight, you must have a disciplined mind. You will not become godly if your mind is out of order. You can have a form of godliness, but your mind has to be in order and disciplined. So what has been playing in your mind this week? What's been playing in my mind this week? What are the things that you thought about? What consumed your thought processes? Barren lives tonight, they can almost always be traced to an undisciplined mind. An unfruitful life is almost always traced to an undisciplined mind. That's what it produces. You can waste your life. You can waste your time and give your things for that which is unprofitable. Well, tonight Jesus says we need to learn to invest your life, your time, your resources into that which is important. And he says to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Thieves don't break through and steal. Am I laying up treasures tonight in heaven? Are you? Like, how do we do that? How do you live here in a way that lays up treasures in heaven? Well, it can be as simply as just living faithfully. It can be just as simply as having a well-ordered mind and a disciplined thought life. It is faithfulness in temptation. Faithfulness in the thought that comes to your mind, and because of the discipline of your mind, you know that thought has to go. It's using our gifts. We all have gifts and talents, things that God's given to us. We use them for ourselves, now it's to serve other people, our families, our neighbors, our friends, church people. We bless other people. We serve other people. We learn to be content. We learn to be content. Remembering that what earthly things here, they're just sort of temporary. They're passing, they're fleeting. They won't last forever. So tonight, Jesus calls us to lay up treasures in heaven. And that song we sang about the things of this world becoming less and less important to us, I think as our focus longer stays on eternal things and on laying up treasures in heaven and giving our lives out for other people, we begin to see this world more properly. And some of these things that at one time seemed important to us are now of less importance. We no longer care about some of them. Lay up treasures in heaven tonight. Learn to fight distractions in order to keep your focus on what's important. Don't just sit there and let your mind just run and idle. Don't just let it wander. Be purposeful with your thinking. These mind battles, they're really something. Paul tells us to take every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity. Are we doing that tonight? Am I doing that? Every thought? Are you in control of your mind tonight? Who controls your mind? You have the capability of doing that. By the Spirit's help. By the grace of God. Every thought into captivity. Set your mind on things above. Sometimes we forcibly have to do that. Sometimes we might have to quote some scripture. Sometimes we might have to sing a song. Sometimes we have to go for a walk or do something to distract us from the thought that just wants to keep pressing in on us. Sometimes we'll have to be really decisive and do something about this thing if we're going to have victory. Fight distractions. Keep your focus on what's important. Guard your mind tonight from unnecessary care. Jesus tells us multiple times in this passage, he says, take no thought. Verse 25, verse 28, he says, why take ye thought for raiment? Verse 31, he says, therefore take no thought. And verse 34, therefore no thought. Protect your mind tonight from cares and worries that you can't really do anything about. Guard your mind from unnecessary care. Things that will make you worry and make your peace go away. Learn to put those things aside. Learn to focus on what you know. Focus on the promises of God. Guard your mind. Learn tonight to cultivate a single-minded focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Tonight, to cultivate a single-minded focus, we need to think biblically. And in order to do that, you and I are going to have to spend just a lot of time in this word tonight. Less time on doing some other things. There are some things today that you and I maybe didn't get completed that were of lesser importance than what this was. Or was that not the case? What do we need to get done first before we spend time with this? But as Christians tonight, we're going to prioritize the Word of God. And there's going to be some things in our lives in a day's time that we're just not going to be able to get done that day. But you know what? In light of eternity, it doesn't really matter. But your mind matters, and how you think matters. So take the time to prioritize, to cultivate a single-minded focus. Because your eye is seeing correctly. Those things that sit on your doorstep that really press in on you, that need done, yeah, some of those are important, but you see something even more important than that, and that is feeding your own spiritual soul and your own mind, filling it with words of Jesus, words from the Psalms. All of this book tonight is life. It's alive. It's a message for you and I. Seek it out. Ask it to be alive to you. Ask the Lord to change the way you think. Sometimes our minds can get into ruts so deep that it takes a while for us to get out of those patterns of thinking. But don't grow discouraged. You've allowed yourself to get into that pattern. Well, have the courage and boldness to get out of it by the grace of God. You can. But you'll never be free from these distractions and the cares that press in on our minds and want to pull us aside and away from God, from His Word, and of things of more importance. And so tonight, distraction, a quote I found, distraction kills action. If it's not moving you towards your purpose, leave it alone. And tonight, there's going to be some things that you and I, as Christians, we're going to do some things that maybe to some people around us seem a little foolish and silly. But we see, spiritually speaking, they're not going to benefit us. They're not going to help us. And it's okay to do things tonight. You know, I know my weak points, where I have failed, and there's some guards that have to be raised up really high, bolted down really, really tight, and I have to stay that way because I'm weak there. But don't deceive ourselves tonight in lowering your guards on your mind, because it's the avenue that Satan will get into you to destroy you. And so take courage tonight as we live in this time frame where you and I live. So again, have a single-minded focus, one that has its attention on spiritual things. Having the light shining properly so we can see the things for what they really are. And sometimes it's hard to know which is the best way to go. And that's why we have brothers and sisters that surround us. And together we can find a way forward. And so work together, talk together, figure this out together as families so we can move forward in a safe way. It's just not for yourself tonight. That's a pretty narrow focus. But it's for our families. It's for the generations behind us. Because if we don't do well in this tonight, somebody's going to pay the price for it. And so it's a call for us as men to rise up and to do what we can to protect and to chart a way forward so the rising generation can follow in a safe way. However that may look for them, we don't know, but we trust God. He will guide us through whatever we may face. So God bless you. Thank you all for coming, for your attention. Continue praying for the services tomorrow, that God would have His way in our hearts and in our minds, and that ultimately He would be glorified by our lives, by our families, can be a light in our communities where we live. So go home, get a good night of rest, refresh yourself for tomorrow, and we'll look forward again to meeting with you and seeing what God would have for us tomorrow. I think we'll stand for closing prayer. Brother Joe, will you...